welcome back to Radio Chicagoland here at WJJG AM 1530 on the dial. It is February 9th, Tuesday. Our number is 708-493-1530 if you want to join in any of our discussions call in or comment about any other topic that might be in the news today. Right now I want to turn to my next guest, John Presta. Now, John Presta is an independent bookstore owner in the Chicagoland area, and he wrote a book, Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots, How Barack Obama, Two Bookstore Owners, and 300 Volunteers Did It. I'm assuming it was you and your wife at the bookstore?
It was. It was just the two of us. We didn't have any employees. It was just us.
And you got a copy of Dreams from My Father, A Story of Race and Inheritance, which Obama wrote, I believe, when he was a senator or in the legislature.
He had not won the state senate race as yet when he wrote the book.
Right. So he was a state senator, I believe, and he was running for U.S. Senate from going to the U.S. Congress. And you read the book, and you were moved by it.
Right.
And what did you do then?
Well, what happened was his campaign manager kept coming into our bookstore soliciting our support for this guy with the funny name, the skinny guy, wanted us to help him with his campaign for Congress. And, our initial reaction was, well, why? I mean, our congressman was Bobby Rush. He was taking on an entrenched incumbent congressman. And, we really had no, particular interest in helping him. But this guy, Dan Shulman, just kept coming back and coming back. He was just never let up.
And what was he doing?
He was Barack Obama's campaign manager in 2000.
And what Congress. Was he actually coming to the store,
Yes.
To promote the book or push the book or to get you involved?
Really come up at first with Dan.
So he was just trying to get you involved as volunteers.
Right. He had heard from, various people that he had met over the years in the community that, you should go talk to those two people. They know a lot of people, and, they can possibly be some help in the campaign.
And your bookstore was a big hub for the community out there where a lot of people would, and you were in that east side near the Hyde Park region, inside Hyde Park?
No, we're on the 19th Ward in the Beverly area.
Oh, you're out in Beverly.
Right.
Okay. Out in the western part of the city of Chicago,
right.
Which is kind of far from, Barack Obama's district.
Yeah, and interestingly, he opened his campaign headquarters for his congressional race at 9525 Southwestern Avenue.
And when was that? When was that election? Do you remember?
It was in March of 2000.
Okay.
But when we first met Dan Shulman and became aware of this Barack Obama person, it was about September or October of that year.
Uh-huh.
And he kept soliciting our support, and finally he wore us down and he convinced us, and we all kind of agreed that we would hold a candidates forum sometime prior to the election.
And did you have that forum?
We did.
And did everybody show up? Who showed up?
Well, all four candidates showed up. There were four candidates running for Congress,
right.
Including Bobby Rush,
right.
Bonnie Trotter, who's a state senator, who
right.
still is, a man named George Roby, who's
okay.
a retired police officer, and, of course, Barack Obama.
And of course, Rush won the election.
Rush won the election.
Yeah.
However, he was 40 minutes late that night.
Oh, he was. Okay. I ran Bobby Rush's first campaign.
He did.
And he never paid me, of course, but so I didn't stay long. If 3 months not getting paid, I said, okay, you know what? I don't think I'm going to run this election any longer.
Right.
So.
A common thing from what I'm hearing.
Well, I mean, it was annoying to me, and, I don't care whether he gets mad at me or not, but,
sure.
When you bring somebody on to do something, the little things like that are what really turn people on and turn people off.
Well, as I document in the book, Bobby Rush had no intention of coming to our candidates forum. It was just going to be the three of them.
Right.
And it was such intense public pressure from the media, from the League of Women Voters, who we got on board with, kind of legitimized our candidates forum, from Citizens Information Service, which was another not-for-profit organization that we got involved with, and several community groups, that the pressure was so intense that he showed up. I would get calls from the day of the forum. We got calls from reporters from all over, including Phil.
Wanting to know if he was going to be there.
Yeah, Phil Kattner called and said,
right.
Well, why isn't he coming?
Right.
So Phil Kattner actually did come, and he did a column
Good.
A couple of days later.
Yeah, he succeeded my column at the Daily Southtown when I was there.
Oh, okay.
And when Bobby, he attended, and Barack Obama attended, you had Donnie Trotter and one other candidate you mentioned. What was the outcome of that race? Do you remember what the who ran first, second, and third?
Well, it was Bobby Rush,
right.
Won overwhelmingly. Barack Obama came in second.
Was it a significant turnout for Barack, or was it...
Throughout the whole congressional district, he took a spanking, as he would admit.
Right.
However, what happened was he took the 19th Ward.
Right.
He took the area that we held the forum. We started working his campaign. He also had someone named Tom Dart, everyone knows Tom,
right.
From the 19th Ward. Tom worked the Mount Greenwood area of the district, and we worked the East Beverly area, and the vote was from one precinct to the next from 65% to 90% of the vote in those precincts.
So he did very well there then.
Did very well.
So even though you won, you lost to an incumbent, and you know that's not hard to do.
Right.
You can have the worst incumbent in the world, as we just saw in this last election, local elections, you know, these county commissioners, especially out in your area, who support all these taxes, and no matter what they do, they just get reelected.
Right.
And that's Bobby Rush's MO. He has a good name. He has a good reputation. As far as being a congressman, honestly, I'm not exactly sure how good or bad he is, but he hasn't been very impressive. But he's not. It's going to be very difficult to unseat him.
Right.
So, but that didn't discourage you then, right? And did it discourage? Did you get a chance to meet Barack Obama then during that?
Oh yeah. The first night I met him was at the candidates' forum. And then we had several other meetings after that. We had a little fundraiser in the neighborhood just before that. We saw him at the St. Patrick's Parade, the now defunct St. Patrick's Parade.
Right.
Actually, the first photo in the book is of him pointing at us during the parade, and he had just known us a day or two.
As he was walking by.
As he was walking by, and he gave us both a big hug, which kind of startled us.
What kind of person is he? Because he seems like a very nice, personable individual.
He's a regular guy. I mean, that's what's so exciting for me of having a regular guy in the White House. I mean, he came from, really, you think about it, he came from nowhere. You know, no special pedigree like, the Bush family, that type of thing.
So he loses this election to a very non-distinguished, Congressman Bobby Rush.
Right.
That has to be a little disappointing, yet it wasn't the end of the road. Then you move on, and what kept you going? Was it Barack's personality?
It was, and we saw how well he was responded to out in this ward. So our thinking was, well, if he was responded to this well out here, couldn't it happen in other places, regardless of what race he would run?
Right.
And we tried to pin him down on several occasions over the, what I call the dark years between 2000 and 2003, that, we didn't have a lot of contact with him. But we were just waiting for, what his next move.
And I remember, actually, right around 2002 or so, I ran into Michelle Obama at the Museum of Science and Industry. She was sitting in the, that old ice cream street. If you've been to the museum out there, Science and Industry, they have a street replica from the 19th century, the end of the 19th century.
Right.
There's a little ice cream parlor there, and she was sitting there, I think, with two very, very young kids, or maybe at least one kid at the time. And I remember walking in and saying hello to her, and it was like, just she was, just a regular person, and
right.
We chatted and said hello, and at the time, it never would have occurred to me that Barack, with such a difficult name, not a bad name or anything, but I understanding American politics, having an unusual name sometimes is in and of itself a challenge. And I walked away going, okay, yeah, he might become senator. It's a possibility, but I even thought that would be tough. What kept you from questioning yourself? you know, to say, wow, this guy goes against the grain of what you would think would be a typical candidate who could win office, the profile of a candidate who could win.
Well, because he was such a student of everything he got his hands on, there was one quote I have in the book. I don't mention his name, but he's a pretty well-known Chicagoan who just said, you know, I love this guy because every time I lobby him for something and I go talk to him, he knows my side of the issue and he knows the other side of the issue, too. So he's, you know, sort of like a Bill Clinton in that way, you know, a policy wonk who just studies everything. I mean, there's no one that knew more about state government by 2004 than Barack Obama did.
Yeah,
he
and
made it his business to learn it.
We're talking with John Presta. He's the author of a book about working with Barack Obama. He and his wife, they own a bookstore. And is the bookstore in Beverly, John?
Yeah, but we're no longer in business.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
Right.
Now you're going to be the consulting advisor to the president, right?
No.
Okay. So we're talking with John Presta. He authored a new book with his wife, Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots, How Barack Obama, Two Bookstore Owners and 300 Volunteers Did It. And it's really a fascinating story. You know, we have a link to the website where you can order and get more information about the book on our website at RadioChicagoland.com. John, where did it go from there then? You know, what got you back involved? There were 3 years, you said, where things kind of, there was a lull. What brought you back into the...
Well, we understood that we were going to be told when, you know, he would announce for whatever office he was going to announce for, because we really didn't have any advance information. And, you know, of course, we opened the paper, we saw an announcement that Barack Obama announced for the United States Senate. Oh. So we just got on the phone and found out Dan Shulman again was going to be his manager and got in touch with Dan, still had his email address. And just Dan came over and brought us all the materials we needed, whatever they had, and explained the campaign to us and kept asking us the question over and over, are you sure you want to go against the 19th Ward? You know, they're going to come out heavy for Dan Hines.
Uh-huh.
And we kept saying, yes, we understand that. We know we're pretty astute politically, and we're on board. We're going to be with this. We've got 14 months now. Before, we didn't have that long. We had a very short period.
Right.
In 14 months, I believe we can do it.
And was Shulman still around? I mean, I don't see his name anyplace on the administration. Do you know what happened to him?
Well, Dan was the campaign manager up until July of 2003. And then he took a different role in the campaign, through David Axelrod, they hired Jim Cawley as the campaign manager.
Yeah, it was through Axelrod's firm.
Right.
Right. And how did you get along with the new guys that were the new group that was around Obama?
Actually,
did they have the same? You know, once he gets in the Senate, obviously things change. You know, were you able to maintain an association with them?
Very limited. By the time the primary and the Senate race came by, our contact became very, very limited. We were just one of many, many, many at that point. Although we were, you know, sort of the model of the grassroots. I mean, he would constantly berate his staff. Why aren't people doing what the Prestas out in Beverly are doing? We need grassroots organizing, sure.
That's huge. I mean, yeah. And had you ever run an election or been involved in an election before?
This was the first one.
That's funny.
Right.
I mean, you know, when you think about it, you've never gotten involved in an election, and then you become the poster child for him, you know, him going, why aren't the volunteers doing what the Prestas are doing?
Right.
You know, out of the 19th Ward, that's very impressive. Have you thought about opening a political consulting company?
No, although we do help a lot of candidates. We just helped Brett Winko become
very good candidate.
My picture was on the front page of the Tribune behind her on election night.
Yeah, I like her. Maybe you can get her back. She was on our radio show once. I'd love to get her back on.
Oh, okay.
Because that would be great if you could, you know, help us out with that.
We could
and
do
of
that.
Course, if
and
we
I also help Robin Kelly.
And Robin, that was a tough race. I mean, I think she was a pretty nice person, but you know we're kind of off the focus here, but you know that Illinois Treasurer's office has some real problems. that carried into the election, like for Robin Kelly and others.
Right.
And I think it's going to hurt Alexei Gianoulias, you know, going into this next election for the U.S. Senate.
Well, I'm also helping Alexei, too,
by the way. Yeah, and, you know, I have a lot of friends, by the way, that are helping Alexei. But, you know, I just, you know, and I'm being honest. I wish it wasn't true, but I believe that, you know, the banking stuff and, you know, just that Bright Start program are really going to be tough to just shake off with a shrug. He's going to have to do some real serious addressing. Anyway, back to the big success story. He runs for Senate, wins, and then he does this speech at the Democratic National Convention, which was probably the best speech I have ever seen. And I've watched every speech since the first time I voted. And of course, I wasn't very, you know, I voted Republican for Nixon at the time. And I always regretted it, not voting for McGovern. But, you know, I was young and just out of, I think I was still in high school when I first voted. I was just graduating from high school. And it was unusual. But his speech there was phenomenal. And that alone jettisoned him, did it not?
Well, I was one of about 30 people that got invited to a church called Trinity United. Everyone's heard of that. And we had a special viewing there. And there's a photo in the book of the crowd that was with us. So, and C-SPAN was there because three of the people in the group were going to be interviewed during the course of the speech.
Mm-hmm.
One was my wife, another was Mike Jordan, who I talk about in the book, and the other one, I think, is James Montgomery, who was
Joe
Washington.
Right, Corporation Counsel.
Right, and he was the only one that ended up talking because of some time constraints. Well, we're sitting there watching the speech without the, you know, CNN's commentary or MSNBC's commentary of the speech, and every person in that room knew it when it was over that he hit it. I mean,
he really did.
We didn't have anyone telling us that. I jumped up. They all jumped up. We knew it.
He has something that no matter how hard I try, I just don't see in Sarah Palin. So every time I hear her talk, it's like, you know, I tried to give her the benefit of the doubt, you know, during the election. I liked John McCain, but I was a big first Hillary Clinton supporter and then later Barack Obama. As the campaign went on, he really won people over. But I always tried to think, you know, you got to give Sarah Palin the benefit of the doubt. She's a regular person. But the more benefit of the doubt I give her, the more I shake my head going, oh, my gosh, this is she's just a train wreck. And hopefully, you know, it'd be great if she were the candidate, you know, in 3 years for president. Yeah, because Barack, you know, would really move ahead.
Maybe a Sarah Palin, Michelle, what's her name in Minnesota?
The
Michelle something.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
That would be a good team.
Two women?
Yeah.
Wow, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
That would shake up politics.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, for me, women are really important in terms of they deserve, you know, more than they get in society. And it was one reason why I first, you know, backed Hillary Clinton. I felt, even though I disagreed with some of her policies, I felt, you know, it's time for a woman in office. But that woman factor, two women running for president and vice president? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be a political consultant, John, okay?
Okay.
You can spin that off. And tell us a little bit more about what was the most exciting moment in all of this. Obviously,
I would probably tell you, too, the most exciting was primary day in 2004, even more exciting than the presidential election.
Really? Why?
Because it was such a long shot. I mean, we had some fundraisers for Obama, and we had some events where he was ranking 6%. No one knew who he was.
Right.
I mean, the odds were like... And if the election was held, like, in this time period in February, I think he would have lost. Because that extra 6 weeks that he got really was where all his momentum came.
Well, he cut a real big break when Jack Ryan, you know, was kind of forced to kind of withdraw from the Senate race, you know, on the Republican side. And you're talking about the Democratic primary.
Yeah, I'm just talking about
you didn't think that he was even going to win the Democratic primary. Who was he up against?
Dan Hines, Blair Hall, who was just spending his way to oblivion there. Nancy Skinner, radio
right.
talk show host. Who else? Oh, Jerry Chico.
Right.
Maria Pappas. I mean, you really have some formidable people in there.
Well, name-wise, but when, you know, Maria's a sharp person.
Right.
Dan Hines is a good person, too, but too much of that machine, you know, burden on his shoulders. You know, when you really look back at that, obviously, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking, you know, Obama was really the only candidate that really came in,
right.
you know, with some real promise. You know, the rest of them, two long-term politicians, too many of them. And then, you know, once he won the primary, I'll tell you, Jack Ryan should have won that election. And on the Republican side, and then he slips up and, you know, really exaggerates what's in his sealed divorce, you know, file in the courts, and basically lies to reporters. And, you know, when you lie to reporters, you know, they're more vengeful than anybody. You know, you challenge them, they take the challenge up. I think somebody said, I can't remember who the candidate was now, but he said, look, and if you can prove that I'm, you know, doing something, go ahead and do it. And I think they did it,
right.
you know, several times. So, and then with, what was the Republican extremist who they brought?
Oh, Alan Keyes.
Alan Keyes. I mean, once that happened, I'm looking, I'm going, you know, this guy Barack Obama is going to win. And I thought, wow, that is...
Well, I was convinced when he won the Democratic primary, it was over.
Even with Jack Ryan? Or
yeah,
anybody?
Even with Jack Ryan, yeah. Right. I thought he could beat Jack Ryan, though I think it would have been a much tougher race.
Tell us a little bit more about your book, and I'll quit reminiscing about politics, even though that's
okay.
what we love.
Okay, well, then after the 2004 election,
yeah.
you know, Obama sent some people over to Iowa that I, you know, that I knew about, so he was already thinking about the presidential thing. And then in late 2005, I received a call from Alexei Genelius. It was the first phone call he made for that campaign. He had heard Judy Bartopinka had decided not to run for state treasurer and instead was going to run for governor. And he started out the phone call with, Barack Obama gave me your phone number. My name is Alexei Genelius, and I'm running for state treasurer. And he said that you could possibly be some help to us. So that was the first call he made to, you know, one of many, many, many groups.
Right.
So he came out to our community like three times and appeared before us. During one of the times was when his petitions were being questioned. It was actually our petitions that were being questioned, and we passed the test. You know, we're real careful about how we circulate petitions and how they're signed and, you know, all the dies dotted and the correct person signs it and you don't do. So we were good there, but, you know, we learned a lot about that.
Have you had any contact with the president since his election?
The last time was February 11, 2007. I remember that because that was the day of the announcement.
And it's understandable. I mean, there,
sure.
you don't begrudge it, obviously, because now he's at a national level. You're talking about
different orbit, yeah.
Yeah, and it's tough. I mean, people that work for candidates sometimes, you know, develop a little bitterness over the fact that the distance,
sure.
you know, that they've taken, you know, takes them away from a lot of the grassroots people they're originally with. But how does a candidate maintain that link to the grassroots? I guess otherwise, outside of just doing a great job.
I think right now at this point they're kind of losing touch with the grassroots. So I think we need to get back to that. In fact, we're thinking about producing some buttons for, you know, for the book and also for the national campaign, and something like to the effect, I am Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots, that we all are doing that. We all are Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots, and we all need to get in there. And
I want to help you with that because
okay,
I like that idea. That
yeah.
I think, you know, again, you know, you're president of the United States. You can't talk to 50,000 people
sure.
a day, but you can demonstrate a closer connection to the grassroots, and I think you're right. You know, I think he's very admirable. I admire what he tries to do.
Right.
And but I think you're correct. He's kind of, there's a little distance between him and the grassroots. Now, he is a great guy consulting, you know, doing his political strategy, David Axelrod. I worked with David at the City Hall press room for years,
right.
you know, as a reporter, and he's just brilliant. And I know that David can help him, but you know what? Part of Obama's problem, I think, and I wonder what you think of this, you know, they know how to win elections, but do they know how to run government?
Right. Yeah, it seems to be challenging. You know, I guess, you know, I don't like to be too critical of them, but no, I question whether Rahm Emanuel should be in the spot he's in.
Right.
I think that may be one of the problems.
John, I got to bring you back so we can talk politics more. You're really into it, and I'm sorry that we haven't connected sooner.
I just mentioned once Sunday I'll be at Centuries and Sleuth's Bookstore in Forest Park, Illinois, at 7419 West Madison Avenue. It's one of the great independent bookstores.
Yeah, what's one of the owners over there? Wasn't it
Augie?
Augie, right. And,
right. And his wife is there occasionally on weekends.
All right.
Augie Alexi, and he does a great job. It's history, mystery, and biographies. And it's a great store. They do all these plays and meeting of the minds. And he's if you got any questions about Sherlock Holmes, he can answer those questions for you. I mean, Augie's just a great guy. We became very close during our time as bookstore owners, and we're still close.
Do you ever regret not having your bookstore? Or?
Yeah, I do.
Because
it
really must
be fun now to have it back.
And it'd be a great source of, you know, I'm sure it was a great point to bring people together from the community.
Yeah, we did a lot of work with CAPS and marching, you know, against drugs and violence and gangs and all that kind of stuff.
Well, when you launch your grassroots movement, which I think you should do, okay, and using the, and I know you're not doing it just to sell your book, because I really know you believe this, and I believe it too. Set up, give us a way to join and participate, everybody, and we would love to do it. My guest on the line is John Presta. He is the author of Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots, How Barack Obama, Two Bookstore Owners, and 300 Volunteers Did It. And if you go to our website at RadioChicagoland.com, there's a link to Reading on Walden. .com, where Walden Books, there's an article or a review, an overview, and you can order the book online. That's readingonwalden.com.
And it's also available on Amazon, Borders, Books a Million.
So you can get it almost
any bookstore website, we're there.
And being a bookstore, a former bookstore owner, you would know that process to make sure it's out there.
Right.
I really am grateful that you were able to take some time this morning, and hopefully we can do this again.
Sure, anytime.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Ray.
All right, that was John Presta. Great book, Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots, How Barack Obama, Two Bookstore Owners, and 300 Volunteers Did It. It is 10 minutes to 9 o'clock here at WJJG AM 1530 on the dial. Our number is 708-493-1530. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Illinois Policy Institute head John Tillman, to talk about a recent list of wasteful state spending. The piglet list, I think. I got to get that up. It's an interesting list of pork that we could do a little bit without some of that. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking with John Tillman and his this year's piglet book, which is going to identify wasteful spending in the budget process. I'm Ray Hananiel. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Wild Garden Hummus Dip is a great-tasting and healthy garbanzo bean dip that is perfect for parties and every meal. All natural and ready to serve, it's available today from most major retailers like Costco, Jewel, Walgreens, and more. Visit www.wildgarden.biz for more information about Wild Garden Hummus Dip and to locate a store nearest you. Make every day a party with Wild Garden Hummus Dip, an essential ingredient in the popular Mediterranean diet. Authentic Middle Eastern foods from Wild Garden on the internet at www.wildgarden.biz.
El Waha, the Arabic language village at Concordia Language Villages, is truly a learning experience, complete with a swimming beach for hot summer days and plenty of cool shady forests for hikes with friends. Learn to read and write modern standard Arabic and meet counselors and friends at Concordia Language Villages who will teach you the Arabic of their everyday conversations, tailored for your age and your generation. Concordia Language Villages is a premier youth language and culture immersion program in North America. Picture yourself at El Waha learning, make friends, and having fun this summer. Contact Concordia Language Villages online at www.concordialanguagevillages.org. For more information and to learn about their two-week exploratory program, four-week high school program, and many generous scholarships at Concordia Language Villages, visit them online at www.concordialanguagevillages.org.
New York Life Stories.
I told my son, times are tough. You want it, you work for it. No new snowboard, no MP3 player.
Tough love, huh, Rob?
He knows what the goal is.
College.
It's the one thing I don't want to say no to.
I'm Jerry Bayless, and along with being my friend's sounding board, I'm his New York Life agent. Even in this economy, people can still achieve their dreams if they have financial protection. That's what Whole Life Insurance from New York Life offers. For 164 years, we've been helping provide secure futures and helping fulfill life's goals, in good times and bad. Like Rob's dream of having his son be the first in the family to go to college.
Maybe I'll go halves on the snowboard.
Give your family the most selfless gift of all. A secure financial future. New York Life, the company you keep.
This was a dramatization. Your local New York Life Insurance Company agent, Sam Alame, a charter financial consultant, is ready to help you. Call him at 630-833-3339. That's 630-833-3339. Visit Sam on the web at samalame.com.
As part of its promise to lower health costs, Archer Pharmacy's unique affordable prescription program offers more than 300 generic prescription drugs. Now lowered to $4 for a 30-day supply, $9.95 for a 3-month supply. Don't forget to ask about Archer Pharmacy's veterans program. Call Archer Pharmacy at 773-586-1133. That's 773-586-1133. Go to RadioChicagoland.com for more information.
Spice up any meal with Ziad Brothers Importing ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Delicious side dishes that complement any meal. Available at most major retailers, including Jewel, Costco, and Walgreens. Visit www.ziad.com, Z-I-Y-A-D, for more details. Ziad offers the best food products for every Mediterranean or Middle Eastern meal, the highest quality from our family to yours. Don't forget to also go to ziadrecipes.com to check out hundreds of Mediterranean recipes. Ziad is also proud to support Falafel, the new falafel fast food restaurant in Lakeview in Chicago at 3202 North Broadway. Falafel, F-A-L-A-F-I-L-L, offers great tasting and affordable fast food falafel sandwiches with side dishes and salads at this new Falafel restaurant. Visit www.eatfalafel.com for more details.
Visit RadioChicagoland.com to get details on morning show guests and topics. Post comments or send Ray an email at RayHanania@Comcast.net. Now, back to the phone line and dial 708-493-1530. Join the discussion and the debate here at WJJG 1530 AM Radio, the station that wants to hear what you have to say.